Hello and welcome to the Stubbs Cast. I'm back, Stubbs Gaming here. The Stubbs Cast Content Creator Podcast is where myself, Stubbs Gaming, talks to other content creators about shit, about their shit. Mess it up. It's about sharing knowledge and creator stories and sharing tips and tricks. Hopefully, in the end, it helps some people out, as in what to do and how to get into content creation. Also, please check out www.bg4ghub.com. It's a cool independent gaming website that provides news, reviews, gaming opinion pieces, podcasts, and so much more. Please bookmark it. Hello, Prophet of Metal. And that's right, isn't it? Prophet of Metal.
Yeah, well, it's Prophet for short.
Yeah.
I'm Prophet of many things. That's good, it. Yes, good. Doing very well. How about you, Stubbs?
I'm all right, cheers. How's the weather over in Australia? That's it, sorry.
It's hot, and I just switched the air conditioning on.
Oh, look, he's showing, everyone, he's showing off. Look, you all right, Dreadpool, Matt Barnes, how you doing? He's showing off. Everywhere's going into winter, and he's putting his air conditioning on there.
Oh, we just got past winter, though.
Have you? Oh, you have, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah, reverse.
Wow, yeah. That is crazy, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, just about to hit summer in a couple of days.
Oh, welcome, War Stu. Welcome, Dreadpool. Welcome, Matt Barnes. Thanks for stopping by. Yeah, no, it's just starting to get cold here. I mean, it has been for a little bit, but yeah, it's getting cold now.
Isn't it always cold in England, though?
That's what they always say. We're used to it. We are. Yeah.
Love to go there one day.
Yeah, you probably need... Well, a while back, a family, when I was a lot younger, about 1920, one of my family members has a family member that lives in Australia, and the first time he ever came back to England, he came over, and we had to cover him in blankets because he was shaking with nearly hypothermia because he wasn't used to the British weather. I thought he was taking the piss, but he wasn't. He was shaking. I couldn't believe how shaking he was. I didn't even think it was that cold. It was winter here.
I've been to China twice, and the recent time I went to China, that was the first time ever experiencing negative degrees, and that was freezing. Northeast of China, it's absolutely brutal.
Well, yeah, it sounds worse than here then, definitely. Dreadpool says he's still got his air conditioning on as well, so it must be hot where he is as well. He's in America. Yeah.
What's the temperature today in Fahrenheit, Dreadpool?
Welcome, Homer J. 1889. Thanks for stopping by.
Jesus.
Has it come through or what he's put?
I heard 80-89, so I was like, oh, 80-89, that's high.
Hello, Marion.
Oh, that's the Homer J guy.
Thanks for stopping by, Marion the Mad. How are you doing?
What up, Marion? Dreadpool, all my homies.
77. I don't know if that's
fine. Oh, that's all right. Yeah. That's a nice day. Well, it's hot, but it's nice.
Different measurements to Britain. We use degrees.
Yeah, but you guys use miles on the road still.
We do. That's what confuses me. When then it's all kilometers in other countries.
Yeah, I mean they're your units, the English units from the United States are your units originally, but they changed it to match Europe.
No, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Well, no, we were probably forced to do it out of the EU, probably.
Yeah.
But, anyway, when did you start gaming? Was it as a, I presume it was as a child, I presume, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not that old, really.
Yeah, I've been gaming since I was a child, yeah. But I remember the earliest time I remember playing games was back in grade one. I think the first game I actually remember playing was V8 Supercars, the original V8 Supercars, or Tockered Race Driver 1, the original one, if anyone knows those games.
I do remember that one. Rings a bell anyway, that one does.
Yeah, I actually played on the PC. So I started out PC gaming as a kid, and what do you know, I'm PC gaming now.
A lot of people do, because they weren't like monster rigs back then that you had to like spend thousands of pounds on. Run on fairly cheap PCs, you could, you know.
Yeah, and then I moved on to playing. I got my original Xbox in 2004, cool. So 3 years after it came out. Yeah. And I was in grade two then. Played Halo, watched my father play the first mission, and then I remember for all three of us, my brother, my father, and myself, I was the one always to get us past the second level Halo. <That's> because good. No one can figure it out, but young me could. And then after that, I went back to PC as a kid. I played the original Medal of Honor on PC, Allied Assault it is. That's a big memory for me, and I'm so happy. Now, as an adult, I could buy my own copy of it on Origin and relive those memories of how great those Medal of Honor games were.
That's really good. I mean, not a game I've actually heard of. Obviously, I've heard of Medal of Honor, but not that specific one, was it? I suppose that was before the days of multiplayer, weren't it?
It had multiplayer too. It was on, you know, GameSpy, the GameSpy company. They had servers.
Was it any good?
Actually, yeah, you can still play it to this day. Like, I remember I jumped on once and tried to play multiplayer, and I was like, oh shit, there's still servers. So I jumped on, and of course they're all based in Europe and all these other countries, so the ping was pretty much unplayable. But it's just watered down Call of Duty, basically, because that's the same developers who made that. Some of them came from that company that made it and formed Infinity Ward to form the original Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how old games can have servers that are still running that old.
Yeah, that's, I know,
seriously,
right?
Seriously old. That's not even like Modern Warfare 3 old. That's like, well, you know. That's really seriously old, that is.
Yeah, and then after that, I just played on the original Xbox. And then 2007 is when I was actually allowed to play games regularly. Because I don't know why. And I finally finished Halo 1. And then I moved to Singapore in 2008. Really? And
that's crazy. Cool.
Yeah. So I didn't really game a lot when I was young. Back in like 2007, but when I moved to Singapore, it's a completely different country. If no one's been to Singapore, it's a small island. It's beautiful. It's the most convenient place to live, and it's basically my identity and my childhood was there. And that's when I really picked up gaming in Singapore, because you can't play. There's not much sport to play, and I used to play a lot of sport. Used to play rugby, a bit of football, and or soccer for you Yanks. And yeah, after that, gaming just became the main hobby, and it's been good ever since. Started playing on the PC in 2012 when I discovered Dota 2, and I clocked over 2,000 hours on Dota 2. Wow. That's the only game I played.
That game's big. Is it still big? Because it used to be.
Oh, it's still big. It's just so bad now. It's like after update 7, like I started playing again a couple years ago, and that was just before they released update 7.0. No one's probably gonna know what that is, but it completely changed the game. It made the game a lot worse. It just wasn't the same. Didn't have the same vibe or get when you play the game, which is why I played it so much. Used to spend hours and hours in 2014 playing with my friends. We all played Dota. We had a small team, and you know, we weren't that good, and I didn't get along with everybody, but I'm still friends with most of those guys today, so that's all right. So I went cold turkey on Dota. I haven't touched that game in years. Just done with it.
Oh, fair enough. Your mate,
and here I am now.
Your mate, PC. UK
playing on PC. Yes, Daz, the star is here. Yeah, what up, yeah, Daz?
Bit of a power nap by sounds of it, so you could come and watch. I appreciate that, Daz. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Daz. Thanks to see you, mate. Hopefully we'll be able to talk again soon.
Definitely. That sounds good, though. You've got quite a gaming history. I didn't know you'd lived over like in other countries as well. That's pretty cool, you know. I've only ever lived in England, so, you know, you're a world-travelled man, you are, you know. You've lived in other countries, not just been on holiday there, you know, you have.
Yeah, mainly just around Asia, but haven't been to Europe, haven't been to the United States, haven't been to Canada.
That's fair. You still
got to go there one day.
Definitely. What was your, silly question, what's your like, favourite console? If you had to like pick out the ones you like spoke of, you know, that you played on.
The only consoles I've really played on were the PS2, the PS3, the 360, and the Xbox One. Being a PC gamer, I honestly have no need for a console, but coming from a console background, 360 is probably my favorite console. But I've played on the SNES as well, the GBA, Game Boy Advance, that is, and definitely the 360, because that's where I played Halo 3 for the first time. That's where I played Modern Warfare 2. Just all those memories come from the 360. So 360.
That's a good answer. No, I didn't pay in people to say that. A lot of the time, a lot of people disagree with me when people say, what's your favourite generation? And quite often I say PS2. And it's because that I don't remember a console having that much variety in games.
Yeah, that had a lot of variety, PS2.
Well, they took risks. Now, with the generations we're in now, there is a hell of a lot of variety, but it's only due to the rise of the indie games. It is, you know, in my opinion. It is, but no.
Absolutely, yeah. Indie games. I mean, look at Indie Gamer. Indie Gamer's really paving the way for indie content creation.
Definitely. It is. Some of them just, they really are. I mean, even Game Pass, there's a lot of indie games in Game Pass now that a lot of people say, oh, well, that's just indie games put in there, but it's actually exposing people that would normally just play all the AAA bangers, or whatever you like to call them. And then it's not hurting them if they download it and don't like it. They could just delete it and not pay for it, are they? Apart from their subscription fee. You know?
I mean, whenever Supersonic Station tweets something about Game Pass, I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck Game Pass. But I don't actually mean that. I've tried Game Pass once, and I think it's a great service. I mean, it's just like any music streaming service. You know, you pay for it. You have access to the entire library for X amount of dollars per month. And everybody knows albums on iTunes go for like $20, and that can rack up quite a lot. I myself still buy music. I mean, that's a bit changing the topic a little bit, but Game Pass is a good service, and it's a great thing for developers, great thing for gamers. So everybody's winning.
I think Super has Game Pass.
Honestly, I hope you're right. That'll be so funny.
A lot of people say he does, but he pretends he doesn't.
You know? It's that good of a deal. Even the person who really dislikes it, how could they dislike it?
I could be wrong, but no one can ever prove anything. Unless we get access to his Xbox account, and that's never going
to
happen.
Yeah, I had to hack it.
But no, yeah.
This show does not condone hacking or account jacking of any kind.
There you go. Exactly what Daz would say that would be. Or Daz would go, the Dazcast does not condone. He would.
I have to say it, you say it just like Daz does. You just got to say it with a bit more emphasis. The Dazcast.
Yeah.
Shout out to Daz, missing that Dazcast. Missed the old days of Subski and Daz. That was a great time. And
it's coming back.
I miss WDFC.
He's bringing it back next year. You can try.
Yeah, he is.
Daz does have super blocked, by the way.
Yeah. That's all right.
That's no joke. Welcome, Warwick Gaming. Thanks for stopping by. And Homer J has followed you on Twitter, Prophet.
I'll have to follow him back then. Watch my Twitter now.
Definitely. I mean, you've already answered that game. So, favorite game, I would presume you go with Medal of Honor, because you obviously already mentioned about that.
My favorite game of all time isn't Medal of Honor. Medal of Honor is just a game I have lots of memories with.
Okay.
That's a hard question. I bet everyone's gave that answer though. Favorite game of all time. Favorite game right now. You know, I said to you before the show, I've just been playing COD recently, and you know, I'm top 1% on PC on Modern Warfare 2019.
Wow.
It's the game I play the most. It's probably I just play COD these days, but
and then he goes on Twitter and tells me Cold War shit.
Cold War is playing it more and more.
I don't think I'll get it because I'm hearing it's crashing people's Series X's and that. I don't want my console to crash.
I mean, I have my PC is 3 years old, and Cold War actually has ran better recently than Modern Warfare, and Modern Warfare is more polished and it's just more fun. Like people say it's a campy game and all that, and it is. I mean, I don't like the doors, no dead silence, mounting, all this ridiculous crap they added, but it just runs better and plays better than Cold War. Cold War is a sweat fest. Like, it's even too sweaty for me, and I'm one of the biggest sweats who ever meet in COD.
Really? That's interesting.
But yeah, to answer your question, favorite game all time would have to be Black Ops 3. Black Ops 3, yeah.
I'll tell you what, back when Black Ops, like that was when I used to play Call of Duty on a regular basis, like all the time. Black Ops 3 was a big one for me, multiplayer-wise, because...
Yeah,
me and my mates, I never used to complete the campaign. I used to just jump straight online and that'd be it. But I don't bother now. No, I don't. I haven't played Call of Duty games since World War II on the PS4.
Yeah, World War II was a brilliant gun too. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
but you're not missing much for the campaign for Black Ops 3. It was really bad, but the multiplayer. And the zombies were that good at made campaign.
Yeah, I always thought, whether you might be wrong, because people kept saying I was wrong. But I said, like, Treyarch are good and the zombies are good. I just thought, in my opinion, that they should have a game that, well, you might not agree. Zombies fans, they could just have a solo game where they could literally just keep releasing new map packs and zombies maps, and have it in his own entity, you know.
I agree with that.
It's that big of a zombie fan base there is, but obviously they want to sell their however much money a game each year, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's makes them pay more.
Definitely. I mean, I think they make more money via doing the zombies route and just having so many every so often releasing new zombies things and expanding the base that way. But you know, I got told by people now that would never happen. It probably wouldn't happen, but it's a damn good idea though, you know.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. I mean, look at Black Ops 3 on PC. This game is 5 years old. I've been playing it since the beta on my Alienware 2013 laptop, which is an absolute piece of shit now, but I got it for like $1,500 back in the day, and as a kid that was a lot of money.
But it still kicks a lot of laptops' asses, I'll bet.
Yeah, it runs really good on this PC, but the game always had optimization problems and all that on PC, but on PS4, it was flawless, and Xbox One, it had lots of problems too. But people are still playing Black Ops 3 on PC, and it is the most successful PC COD of all time on Steam. Obviously on Blizzard, which is where COD is on PC now, the Modern Warfare 2019 and... Cold War are doing really well, but almost 4,000 people are still playing Black Ops 3, and that's because the zombies experience is so good. I mean, it has mod tools, so there's pretty much unlimited content there. And imagine if they did have a game like that where it's just zombies, they have a standalone game, and it's on Steam or whatever, it has mod tools, the content's endless. Why would you buy another zombies game? You can do all that, and there's people who would remake the maps as close they can, because obviously in every zombies experience there's different, I guess, gameplay functions. I can't remember what the fuck they're called. Game concepts, mechanics, that's the word. Game mechanics. They would do that as close as they can. So that's a fantastic idea. I like that.
Well, most definitely. I just can't believe more people haven't thought of it. Now, surely someone within Treyarch must have thought of this, and it was probably shot down. I bet someone would have came up with that. And it was shot down, I bet. Well, yeah. No, we can't sell a new game to them then. But then, in reality, if you keep the player and they're addicted to zombies, then they'd keep buying and keep it fresh. But, you know, they wouldn't have to keep it as a game. They could pay per zombies pack or whatever. You know, they'd get more money in reality.
Yeah. You know? I mean, zombies maps aren't cheap either. Like, you can buy Black Ops 3 zombies maps separately now. Back in the day, you had to buy the DLC pack to get the zombies map, but now they're selling them separately. But they're selling them for $13 a piece.
Wow.
So much. I'm not going to pay that much for that. Fuck. But I know there's people that will.
They will, definitely. Welcome, Assassin Looper. Welcome, Jamie Richardson. Thanks for stopping by.
Good to see Assassin Looper.
Windows 95.
A great Windows edition. 10. Windows 10, what was that?
Apparently, I'm using Windows 95 to do the podcast, Dad says. Windows 10. I am.
He's podcasting on Windows 95. Jesus. Yeah, shout out Assassin Looper. Great addition to Retro Renegades.
Well, if you carry your profit cast on it, you have to get her on.
She's a good absolutely. Show. That's a great idea, actually.
You're actually very good at talk. I mean, I had on my podcast Midweek Gaming the other. I'm getting lost now. 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Yeah, she was very good, very very good at talking. You know about gaming, obviously. It's what she does. She's a gamer. You know.
Yeah. I'm sure she would have a very interesting journey in her life too, as everybody does. You know, everyone has different things, and that's why I do it, to learn about that. There's so much knowledge to be gained through hearing what other people have done. It just connects all the timelines together to why we're here today, you know?
Oh, it does, most definitely. You know, but yeah, you've been basically by sounds of it, you've been for the majority of it, you've really been a PC gamer, you have. So I bet you got some serious mouse and keyboard skills, didn't you?
Yep. Just watch any gameplay on my channel.
I've seen some of it, but it's like I wouldn't stand a chance against you, I wouldn't. No way. Cause they do say some controller people can actually beat a mouse and keyboard, but you've seriously got to be shit hot to beat a mouse and keyboard. I don't care who you are. Mouse and keyboard can rotate much faster than a controller.
Yeah, controllers are restricted to circle of motion. Mouse, I can do any movement under the sun. Square, triangle, any shape. I can adjust it just that little bit to where your aim assist at that range will not catch me.
I can easily believe that, definitely. I definitely can. Definitely. Now, before you got into this whole YouTube content creators doing a YouTube channel, did you watch YouTube before that, before you even considered it?
Yes, absolutely. I've never heard of YouTube up till 2008. I moved to Singapore and my father's cousin showed me YouTube. We used to watch shark videos jumping out of water and videos of people in boats going to look at sharks because that's what he was into. He was a pilot. He's a pilot. He lives in Dubai.
Oh, wow.
And that side of my father's family is German. They all live in Germany. And I can't speak German, but they can. And they live interesting lives. They do. They really do that. Especially that guy. He's a pilot. You know, it's really cool. Yeah. So that's when I first started watching YouTube. And the first videos I really got into were YouTube poops. I used to love watching YouTube poops. And I still do. You know, if you know what those are.
What, you literally just people that poo on the toilet and you watch it?
No, they're like edits. Like if okay. someone might do, it might be a song and then they'll remix the lyrics to make them say different things. It's really funny. I mean, I've found it very amusing, but it's not for everyone.
No.
And the people who make them are so talented. They edit. They literally are very creative and very oh, it's just unreal. Like, how do you think of that? How do you hear that in the song? They pit any little sound bite, they'll piece it together and it'll become a new word. It's interesting.
No, that's good to hear. That is, no, that's what you enjoy, because a lot of people enjoy watching endless hours of watching cats on YouTube doing stuff like that. They do. Some people do.
You
know, yeah. Whatever you like, it's all good. YouTube will get that ad revenue. They'd be, you watch all them adverts as well, you know. So when did you actually want to start, not like the Profit Cast, but when did you want to start doing a channel? When
I started, I wanted to do a channel because I used to be, and I still am, a huge RuneScape player. And you know, RuneScapers, it's developed in England by Jagex.
I actually, you'd be shocked now, I do. I used to play it for a little bit, and I don't have much memories of it. But it's what was called the old RuneScape. They've got a new RuneScape now, haven't they?
Yeah, old RuneScape's so much better, man. New RuneScape is terrible.
No, I can believe that. I mean, there wasn't.
Yeah, that game was my childhood too. That was 2008 till now.
That's good to hear.
No, but yeah, I started watching a lot of RuneScape stuff because, you know, that's what you did back in the day. You watched RuneScape videos and you played RuneScape, especially, you know, the school I was in and the country I was living in. It was just the thing to do. And yeah, so I started up my channel, which is the same channel that I have today. It was called 99 Summoning PWNS, which is pawns, because I wanted to get 99 summoning in RuneScape, and I never achieved it, unfortunately, because that account got hacked, and I lost it.
Terrible. Buggers, I tell you, on PC. Like, being a PC gamer, I presume you have to have all your shit in place, all your second factor. You should have it standard anyway, but I bet on PC.
Absolutely.
You have to keep your shit very up to date and secure, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've had my Steam account hacked. I've had my Blizzard account hacked. I had my COD account hacked recently too.
Really?
And all that. Yeah. And I have two factor as well. And it still gets hacked. But Steam these days
is. Does it work out your email address first? Or is that how they do it?
I've had the same email address for years.
I don't get it. How did?
Yeah, I don't know how they do it either.
For security reasons, you should make an. I know, might be a hassle to you. Make for your Steam account or whatever. Make a new email address that no companies are signed up to, and transfer it. But that's up to you. But that might help with security.
Yeah, I mean, now it's not a problem because Steam's security has become a lot better. Because back in the day, it was really bad. They didn't have two-factor. RuneScape didn't have two-factor. I mean, a lot of people have stories about getting their RuneScape accounts hacked. And I remember my account got hacked by my friends and they dropped all my shit as a kid. I was so devastated because,
really?
Oh, God, I remember that day. Anyway, Steam's a lot better now. Haven't had any problems since. Got two-factor, changed the email, did all that.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. That is. Now, welcome, VJ. Thanks for stopping by. Viewpoint Gaming. Thanks for stopping by. No, yeah. So basically, RuneScape was the premise of why you wanted to start a YouTube channel.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, no, that's good because we all have ideas about how we want to do YouTube or however for fun. You know,
I do run a RuneScape channel, but I don't really make videos on it anymore because, you know, just privacy reasons.
That's fair, mate. You don't have to talk about that, you know. I do understand, you know, that kind of stuff.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, so when did you actually... I've got some questions here. So, like, how long have you been doing YouTube then?
I've been doing YouTube since, you know, properly for about 10 years now, actually. 2010, I actually made my first video, which isn't there anymore. It's deleted, but I've been at this game for a while now.
Because I can't always tell, because some people, when you look at your account's very old. But some people have like unlisted videos and deleted videos, so you can't always tell if that's actually, you know what I mean? You can't always tell, you know.
Yeah. I mean, YouTube, I really got passionate about YouTube, you know, when I started playing COD and Halo, because Halo, like back in the Halo Reach days and the Halo 3 and Modern Warfare 2 days, you know, I started watching people on COD like Blame Truth, Legend of Thunder, and Excalazors, all these OG guys. And
Benny Central.
Who's that?
Do you remember Benny Central?
I've heard of the name, but I don't think I've watched it.
He used to be really big on COD in back in like the Modern Warfare 3 days and that. And funny enough, now he works for Xbox now. You know, like on the channel Xbox On. He's one of the presenters. He's still good at computer games, but he transitioned into working for Xbox.
You know? Well, that's a win for him.
It is definitely, but no. Yeah, I've never heard any of the names you mentioned. I've got to look them up. I have definitely.
Yeah, Blame Truth. He's been doing this for over 12 years now. Blame Truth.
He's still going to this day, then.
Yeah, he makes videos every day now. It's really good. You know, he's a great commentator.
Has he got big numbers? Does he like make a living out of it?
He makes a living out of it. He streams full time and he makes YouTube full time. He's got about 350k subs now, I think, wow. Something like that. There's another YouTuber that I watch named Thunder, Legend of Thunder, 402 Thunder, 402. He's been going a little bit less than Blame Truth, and Blame Truth gave him a shout out on his channel back in the day, and now Legend of Thunder's almost at 800,000 subscribers.
Wow.
So he's been doing it a lot less, but he's more popular because he's been more consistent.
That's what they say on YouTube, consistency is key.
Yeah, consistency is key, and I've been doing this 10 years, but I'm only at 215 subscribers. Is it because nobody wants to watch my stuff? Yeah, maybe, but it also because my videos aren't showing up in the algorithm. So, because I don't do it consistency, you know, consistently.
I don't either. Well, my Midweek Gaming ones do.
Yeah, that's consistent.
It's not the algorithm, but I look in the analytics, they get not the Stubbscast. I think they do as well, but they do get recommended to people. But it's quite annoying seeing the amount of people have seen the impressions as opposed to who's actually clicked on it. It's not a lot, you know, but I have fun doing it and you have fun doing it too. And that's all that matters, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's all that matters. You have fun doing it, you know, like we're not getting enough views per month to do it, make a living out of it.
No,
but I mean, we can have fun doing it, which is the best thing.
Oh, well, yeah, most definitely. You know, so this is a question for you. When did you think about doing the Profit Cast? I probably roughly know what the answer is, but I'm going to ask you. So, what was your premise of doing it, and why did you want to do the Profit Cast for creators or community members?
The reason why I wanted to do the Profit Cast is because when I joined Twitter, I was in a team like how you guys are with the BG4G hub, but it was like a clan, and the owner was a guy from Netherlands. Yeah. He was recruiting people, and my best friend, he called me one day and he said, "Hey, you want to join a gaming team?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, sure." You need to think of a name. And I was like, okay, what am I going to call myself? So I called myself Prophet because I was playing a lot of Crisis 3, Black Ops 3, and those characters had Prophet in it. So I was like, that's a cool name. I'll have that. Anyway, that's that. And then I joined Twitter and, you know, to promote the team and all that and meet people. And then I stumbled upon Mega Bad Seed, Max Power, and Stick Figure, which Daz might know about, and anyone who's been around for a while will know those guys.
Jago Coogan just entered the room.
Yep, shout out to Jago, my homie. I love you, my brother. Jago and I go way back. He's the best, just the best guy.
Oh, he's awesome, Jago is. Thanks for stopping by, Jago.
Yeah, thanks, Jago. See you on Retro Renegades, homie. Anyway, as I was saying,
yeah,
they did, and they haven't done it for a good while now. They used to do the Down Under Gaming podcast.
Okay.
And it was cool because they were Aussies and, you know, they were relatable. They were like me. And they're all three of them are a good bunch of guys. Mega Bad Seed did Call of Duty commentaries, and that's really my background is Call of Duty commentaries. I used to do them a lot back in the day as well. Yeah, so they were doing that, and then I was like, you know what? I should do a show. Everyone else is doing it. Why can't I? But I need a unique idea. What is this community not doing? They're not talking about the stories, and they're not trying to gain knowledge from other people's experiences. So why don't I do a show that can help capture the knowledge and the wisdom from people who have been around longer than me, and maybe I can learn something out of it to help influence my life. And that's kind of why I did it, to learn those stories, to learn, just learn about life, because I'm not going to have another life, but I can experience other people's lives in this way. And by this way is to talk to them one-on-one. It's to not talk about gaming, because there's so many gaming podcasts out there, and most of them, not all of them, talk about the same thing. And I'm not an Xbox gamer. I don't give a fuck about Xbox news. I could care less. I only care about, I watch the shows because I want to hear those people talk. I like those people. I like to hear them speak about things. Doesn't matter what it is. I'll listen. I'll jump in. I'll chat to the people in chat. That's why I'm in those shows these days. Anyway, getting back onto my point.
Yeah.
That is why I started the ProfitCast, because I wanted to capture the knowledge. I wanted to get to know them on a personal level. I wanted people to connect with them spiritually and connect with them on a level they won't be able to just behind the internet persona that they pursue.
That's a really good explanation, and one I wasn't actually expecting that what you said, but that's a very good way of putting it, because although I do the Stubbscast, your ProfitCast, I've been listening to them, and they're very much different to what I do. Mine are more focused on content creation and gaming, and yours seem to be a mixture of that and life as well.
Yeah, it kind of connects the persona that they are with who they really are. I don't want to know their real names. I don't want to know where they live. I don't want to come over to their house and have a beer with them. I want to know about why we're here together now. I want to know that story, and I want to connect the two together because it makes sense. I mean, guys like Jago, anyone I've had on the ProfitCast, all their stories are very different, but we were all there at that point in time together.
Oh, my stuff. Jago just put a nice comment, says, ProfitCast was awesome experience for me, and I will never forget it. The one-on-one talk with me and Profit had, I will never forget. So definitely, they are good. I've got to listen to that one. I'm working my way through them like the backlog. Welcome, Mr. Tushy. Welcome, Dragon Wolf. Thanks for stopping by. Welcome, Mav Fun Speculation. Cheers for stopping by.
Yeah, shout out to Mav, my homie Mav.
Yeah, but no, it's really been, yeah, that's a really good explanation, because it's good that they, because you're right, there isn't many shows that actually do that. Even, because most podcasts have gone over people's show just to talk about games. They don't talk about themselves, do they?
No.
And it is hard to get people to open up. And I have managed to do it with certain people on the Stubbscast. They've opened up about a topic that you never thought, or even they thought they'd open up about, you know. And it doesn't always happen, but it's just something different to listen to, because it's all right. I mean, I am guilty. I am in there. I have a weekly show as well that I try not to cover the same 25 topics a week. I'm moving more to topic based now, not the news, because it's quite annoying. It is, but yeah, but no, it's very good. The ProfitCast is. I mean, that is a very good premise. That is a very good premise to do for doing a show, really.
And I think now now that my understanding, ever since I've been with my girlfriend for the past 2 years and a bit now, back in those times I did the Prothercast, I was very different to how I was now. I was alone for a long time. I was isolated in my house. I'm not a very social person. I'm really not. I have trouble making friends. I have all these different, you know, issues and slight aspersions. So there's that. And now the way I would respond to the people in the Prophetcast, I just listen to them talk. Oh yeah, cool. But of course, if I was genuinely interested in the topic, I told them, and I was, of course, always genuinely interested in their answers. And but now that I understand people a little bit more and I understand responses a little bit more, I think it's now a great time to bring the show back because of this.
Oh, no, I definitely agree, because like sometimes when I get an answer, I don't always react as fast as I should do to when they've said something. And it's even now I'm still learning how to do it. You know, I'm no expert doing podcasting at all, but sometimes it just works better with other, you know what I mean? How it gels. But it, as you say, it's learning progress. And obviously in time you've learned to react with people better. As you say, your girlfriend's helped you, you know, as well.
She really has. Like, she's good. I understand girls better in general now too. I think back to all my past relationships, which are 3 in total, I wasn't the best towards them. I was just thinking of myself, and I was like, it was okay. I mean, she would be happy, but when she's unhappy, I'd be like, oh, why is she unhappy? I don't understand. But I get it now. I really do. And it's a great feeling knowing that I won't ever do that again. And like, not that I did anything bad to them. I don't cheat. I don't play around. I don't do any of that bullshit. I don't abuse girls. That's not me. And I'm pretty sure it's not a lot of you either who married and stuff.
Well, I only ever had one girlfriend and I married her. So you've got pretty lucky there, you know.
That's pretty damn cool, son. You know? Those are just stupid high school relationships for me. And this is my first proper adult relationship.
I never had a girlfriend at school.
I wish I didn't either. I tell all the people, all the kids I work with, because I'm an assistant manager in my job. I tell all the kids I work with, don't date in high school. Don't do this. Focus on your studies, because my parents were right and your parents are definitely going to be right too.
They won't listen.
Studying is just practicing. You just practice the topic. You want to be good at maths? Because I was shit at maths, and now I'm doing engineering, and I'm pretty good at maths now. You just got to practice.
Definitely. Oh, very funny, Dad. It's very funny.
What do you say? I said, look.
Burp dolls don't count.
Yep. What?
Wait, I kind of think it's like... Oh, I love Dad. He's awesome. See, Black Rider, thanks for stopping by. But no, yeah, have you ever considered, I mean, I know you probably wouldn't, but this might be a hassle. It's really easy, though. Would you ever consider putting your Prophetcast into downloadable form so people can download it? Because it's very easy to do. It is.
Yeah, if it's easy to do, I'll figure it out.
I could tell you to do it. But if you wanted to do it, it's very easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's free, yes.
And that's no reason not to.
This show we're going download. It's on all Apple Podcasts and Google. Oh, not straight away. Once I get around to once it's processed on YouTube, I can get the audio file.
Yeah,
but yeah. It's very it's, you know, just another way for people to listen. It is, you know.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, YouTube isn't really that great for people on mobile devices when everyone's out and about driving to work, and then YouTube, your phone shuts down. Oh, fuck, I was listening to that. I was watching that video. Now I have to open up my phone again and risk $1,000 for demerit point fine, which is the fine in my state for using a phone.
While you're driving?
Yeah, if you use your phone while driving here, it's $1,000 fine and 4 demerit points. And on a full license, you only have 12 demerit points.
Wow, in England, it's a £200 fine. I think it's 6 or 7 points. However, if you've got a brand new license, and you've just passed, and you literally just passed your test. If you get more than, I think it's 6 points in 2 years, they revoke your license and make you ban you, and make it so you have to retake your theory and your driving test. But if you were to get caught on your phone, that's instant removal, which I think is a good thing because it causes a lot of crashes.
But it's so dangerous.
One thing I don't get, now here's the funny thing, right? You can't play on your phone, right? But like my dad, he's got a van, and he's got a new van, and he's got a car. But if you plug, like what he's got, if you plug your phone in and you play with that on your screen, on your computer, on your, you know, the onboard dashboards, right? That's not deemed as playing on your mobile at all.
Interesting. It is in Queensland.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because it says it here, you have to actually be holding the phone. But I suppose they haven't actually specified it in England if you can get away with that, you know?
Loopholes.
I suppose it's loopholes, yeah.
That's why they've clearly defined it in Queensland.
That's probably it. Welcome, Cerebral Paul. How you doing, mate?
Hello, Cerebral Paul. How you doing?
Mr. Tushy says it's £100 fine and 6 points on your license for the first fine. Yeah, I think that's enough points to get you to stop driving. £100. But if it's in your first 2 years of driving, they just take your license off you. Welcome, Indie Gamer. Welcome, in.
Shout out to Indie Gamer.
If you want to get on your Profit Cast, if you haven't already.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many people I want to get on my Profit Cast. I mean,
it's good to hear you bringing it back. You know,
it's kind of, I mean, you kind of inspired me to bring it back, honestly. I was like, you know,
I'm not that good at doing this thing, you know.
Yeah, I was like, you know, Stubbs is doing a one-on-one. Does my show really have any space on here? Do I really want to take away from his show and just for my personal gain, you know?
You're different. You are to what I do.
Yeah, and then I realized, hey, our shows are completely different. He's talking about content creation. I'm talking about the personality behind the persona, you know. It's completely different.
Oh, most definitely.
And the format, this show's format's different too.
It is. Tushy knows a lot of laws. He's a lorry driver, you see. He has to know laws. He does.
I used to do a show with a friend who lives in Australia too, named Cliche as F, aka Kyle. Kyle just reached Twitch affiliate on Twitch because he's had a lot of time off and he can build his streaming.
Wow, that's cool.
But we used to do a show together called The Outnumbered Podcast. And this was my idea. And we both huge hardcore shooter players. We played a lot of hardcore shooters. We played Escape from Tarkov. We played Hell Let Loose. We played all these, you know, ultra realistic games. And we were like, you know what? We should do a show about this. We could do a short 30-minute show every couple of weeks. And we did that for a while, but of course it actually ended up failing because he had no time to do it anymore. So it's like, all right, well, we'll stop doing it then. But it was fun, and I would like to start that show back up again too. But the problem is none of us play those games anymore because they're just boring. Like, they're so boring. They're not fun anymore.
Yeah, that's fair enough, you know. Have you ever guested on any other podcasts apart from your own?
I've been on the Dazcast back in the day, and I was on the WFC podcast once as well, which is like before it was the WDFC when it was WDFC.
It's changed names now. It has.
Yeah,
it's not very often, but it needs to be on more often, if you ask me. That does.
But no, I mean, I'd like to be on shows and talk with people. It's good, and meet new people.
You'd fit in with the Retro Renegades, but it's fitting in with your time zones, and I'm sure Jago would have you on that. And they would.
Yeah, I don't want to be a panel member though. I would ruin it for everyone if I was a panel member. I don't want to be that at all. That those guys have a unique chemistry, and each member of that show has a purpose. They add new members, you know. I swear they add. It used to be, I've been watching Retro Renegades not regularly when it was just Jay and Supersonic. That's how long I've known that show for. And then eventually they added more people. And each one of them, they're all older gamers. I mean, I'm not going to claim, oh, I'm a big retro gamer. I don't play any of those retro games. I haven't even heard half of them.
You say that. So how old are you then?
23.
So Flemish isn't much older than you.
He's 29.
29, so he's the youngest renegade he is. Go on there like, so often, you know, they're pretty cool. They make you feel really relaxed. It's not like high pressure. You just talk about, there's no topics, you just talk about whatever, you know. It's cool.
I've said this so many times to them. This is the only show I watch live every single week till the end. And I don't know why it is. I just do. Just something about them and me, it clicks. I mean, I started watching it regularly because of Jago. You know, like Jago is my homie, and I was like, you know, I'll go watch Jago, listen to Jago speak, you know. And now I'm just there every single week, and it's great. Every single one of them adds another layer, and it's not a confusing layer where it becomes a big party chat podcast. Oh yeah, fuck, it's just a bunch of guys laughing. It's better than that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just indie gamers got confused somehow.
Let me see.
Prophet, you're not 43, are you?
No.
1997
is my birth year.
And, Flemish is 29, isn't
he? Yeah, he's 29.
Yeah.
Yeah, Flemish is, I just assumed you had to be, you know, old to be on the show, you know, like it's called Retro Renegades.
I mean, I thought that at one point, and how I got on there, I always said to Daz one day, I'd love to one day go on the Retro Renegades. The next thing you know, my DMs are blowing up. Do you want to come on? Like Graphic God and that were messaging me, you know, and it was Daz that said Stubbsy wants to come on, and that. And eventually we did because I was like, I want to come on, but because I had to go work and that, and eventually jobs changed and that, and it's become easier. So every so often I go on.
Yeah, I was there. I was there for your episode.
Indie gamer thinks you said 43.
Minus 20 years and you'll get it correct.
No, he thought you said 43.
Yeah, I know. I was paying for Prossy in 1997. Jesus, man.
Yeah, no, Retro Assassin Loop has been on Retro Renegades as well.
Yeah, and I think she's a
rising star in the podcast world.
I think she's a regular member now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I read that correctly when Jago said she was on now as a regular member.
That's cool. That'd be really good.
As I said, she fits in nicely and adds another layer to the show.
I've asked for one of them for Christmas, actually. Or birthday. My sister said, what do you want for your birthday and Christmas? And I said, one of them was a Retro Renegades t-shirt. But Jay said, hang on, before she orders it, I need the design updating to the new design with all the minute. So
yeah, I like to see the new Retro Renegades logos. Like he always finds the right place to put all the people on. It's very cool. Like UK Dazarus is UK Dazarus beer cans, and Jago passed out because he's come back from work or had a bit too much UK Dazarus beers.
She's a regular
partner. Yeah, I thought so.
Well,
yeah.
Well done, Looper. That's awesome. That is. Because she never sleeps, so it doesn't make a difference.
We will never sleep because sleep is for the weak. And we will never rest till we're all fucking dead.
So what would you say to anyone that wants to like have a pop at start doing YouTube? What would you say to people who wanted to give it a go or even starting their own podcast?
Have a great idea. If you think your idea is great and you think you can reach people, or that someone can learn something from it, do it. If you want to do YouTube, the game is a lot harder now than it used to be. if I was consistent back in the day, I'd probably be living off YouTube money now. But you know, that ship set sail a long time ago. Be consistent, have a cool persona, whatever you want to portray. You want to be some mystic, you want to be whatever you want to be, do it. Have a great commentary style, be engaging. I mean, you might as well, if it's really what you really want to do.
Yeah, no, in fact, that's really good advice. I mean, obviously, the thing I found with a lot of people is just with podcasts or even YouTube, there's a big, or even if you do content regular and you want to do a new podcast, it's procrastination. Because it took me over a year to actually start a podcast, because I you know, that's what happens a lot of the time. You put it off and you put it off. And eventually you do it. One day I just went live on YouTube and I started talking. And like Zemi Games said, do you want to join? Can I join you to have a talk? And they started talking. A lot of people went on. And eventually I was like, not long after, I started the Stubbscast. But we were talking.
And it was a great idea.
On the Profitcast, we will.
Yeah, we will talk about all that on the Profitcast.
But I've kind of run out of questions, if I'm honest. I have.
Last piece of advice I have is make sure you have good hardware. People, I released a video on a community channel a long time ago, and that kind of really, that got me like 100 plus subscribers, and it was awesome. Oh, wow. Cool. But I had a shit microphone. Now I have a Blue Yeti microphone. And after that video and all the feedback I got is why I bought this microphone. It's very important to have good hardware for videos. If you're going to do commentary or any type of vocals or anything, you need to invest in a decent microphone. You don't have to buy a fucking $500 microphone or, you know, audio, as Stubbs would know very well, SM57 microphone or something like that. You don't need one of those.
I've got a Blue Snowball.
Yeah, Blue Snowball's a nice microphone too. They're cheaper than Yetis.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
they're good microphones. Very good. And you got to do it though, because if you sound like I did on my video, people are not gonna watch you.
No, that is a good point. Some people are a bit funny about Sophia. About the
comment. Like UK Dazarus's Profit Cast is notorious to me because I could barely understand what he was saying.
I remember that one. It's really low. Like Daz was really low.
Yeah, but now
it's really hard to hear. But
now you can understand what he's saying. I had a hard time understanding because I haven't spoken to, you know, someone that British in a long time.
Oh, I can understand him. Just the volume was low, but I had to push the speaker up a bit. I could hear it. I could.
Yeah, I couldn't understand what he was saying, like, orderly too, but I couldn't, and because the microphone was so bad, that made it even worse.
What are you doing with your microphone?
What am I doing?
You can hear it. What are you doing with it?
I put my fingers on top.
That'd be wild then.
Yeah, you can turn these up really loud and you can create an infinite loop of sound.
So I presume you've got a pot filter too as well, yeah?
Yes. I bet you do too.
Yeah, because Indie Game would just put pop it. If you could hear the popping. But it's you tapping on the microphone, that's what's doing it.
Yeah, Daz said he's got a blue rich regional accent. Yes, he does indeed. See you later, Looper. Enjoy your food. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by, Looper. Much appreciated. Oh, thanks for stopping by, Dreadpool, as well. Much appreciated. But yeah, no, it's been a really good one. I've really run out of questions. It's been really good, it has.
Yeah, however, I think it's perfect.
We're going to continue after. Are you doing Profitcast Live or not?
Yeah, we'll do Profitcast Live, see how many people we can get in here.
Yeah. I'll drop it on Twitter. And it's actually after this podcast, so get ready for the link to be dropped.
Yep.
Do you want to tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on YouTube, which is Prophet of Metal. You can find me on Twitter at Prophet of Metal with an underscore at the end. And you can also see it floating past now on your screens.
Yes, it is. Thank you for coming on. It's been very good, Prophet. I truly appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thanks for inviting me.
Most definitely. Thanks for stopping by, everyone. Assassin Looper, Jamie Richardson, Indie Gamer, UK Dazzara, Z Black Rider. There's loads of Dragon Wolf, Dreadpool, Shizno. There's been loads of people. Cerebral Pool, Warwick. There's been just loads of people coming by. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for coming out.
Thanks for coming out, everyone. I haven't actually organized the next Stubbscast, so I have to let you all know about that. I don't know yet. But anyway, thanks for all stopping by, and I'll see you all soon.